No enterprise is safe from cyber attacks these days, it seems. Federal agencies, critical infrastructure operators, even movie makers. My next guest argues digital pirates have less to fear from the United States now than did the Barbary Coast pirates of the 18th century. Alan Rall is a partner at the law firm Sidley Austin and former vice chairman of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. He joins me now. Mr. Rall, great to have you on.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
All right. So do you think the Sony incident of last month and the federal government's response to it with sanctions on North Korea in some manner was a turning point in this whole debate?
Well, I think it may very well be. It certainly seems like the federal government has acknowledged and taken on a responsibility in the Sony case that I think has been missing in a lot of responses to other hacks in the private sector. So with Sony, because of the evident attribution to North Korea, which the U.S. government has not been shy about making publicly, this is a case in which the federal government has said this was an attack on a private company, and the private company's intellectual property assets and the release of embarrassing emails and the penetration of a private sector network. But nonetheless, this involves and triggers the obligation of the federal government to protect private companies, protect private business. I mean, after all, if every bank in town were knocked off by the mob, right, you wouldn't say it's the bank's problem and they've got to fix it. You'd say it's the police problem. It's the FBI problem. The private economy warrants protection from the federal government when it's under attack, a concerted assault by both state-sponsored cyber attackers as well as organized criminal cyber attackers.
Now, the recent response, well, I guess to be charitable, looked a little bit improvised. What would a response mechanism in policy look like, ideally, for the United States for the federal government to be more active in the protection of private interests that are under a cyber attack?
Well, first, in the Sony North Korea case, it was very significant that the government came out with the attribution to North Korea. There's also, there's not been official acknowledgement by the U.S. government that it was involved and responsible for taking down the internet in North Korea as a as a response or sanction, it is the common belief that it is likely a kind of a measured response. And as I understand it, there are only about 1,000 IP addresses in North Korea anyway, so it is not one of the most digitally connected countries in the world. So, but nonetheless, there was a takedown of its network. So I do think that the government has stepped in here. But I think one of the first policy responses that that should come out of this is that, as you mentioned, in 1794, when the Barbary pirates attacked the maritime trade of the United States, a commercial activity, albeit a very particularly important one at that time, the Congress established the U.S. Navy and provided the funding for battleships to go out and fight the Barbary pirates and to protect commerce of the United States from the depredations of those pirates. So today, what we need to do is acknowledge the federal government responsibility, not try to blame the victim. The companies that have been hacked recently, once they've been hacked, get sued, get investigated, and get blamed for being attacked. Now, in some cases, that may be warranted. If a company has really let down its guard, not implemented basic cybersecurity measures. But let's face it, a lot of the companies that have been hacked have tried really hard to protect themselves because it's in their interest to protect their customer information, their private business information, their intellectual property, the other crown jewels that a company needs to operate successfully. They're trying really hard, and they still get hacked. Just as the White House has been hacked, the Federal Trade Commission has been hacked, CENTCOM's Twitter account was recently hacked. So it's not for lack of trying really hard. But when you have this blame the victim attitude, it shifts the responsibility away from the federal government and on to the victim of the cyber attack. What we need to do is for Congress and the executive branch to take on the responsibility. We need to do a better job of protecting U.S. commerce and the economic security of the country from the state-sponsored and organized cyber criminals that are engaging in what former NSA Director Keith Alexander said was the greatest wealth transfer in the history of the world, all the intellectual property that's just being exfiltrated from our corporate networks and sent over to other countries. So the step that I would suggest is an acknowledgement that while public-private partnerships are necessary here because these communication networks and the corporate databases are obviously in private hands, but we need a cyber defense force like the Marines and the Navy in 1794 that go out and actively protect U.S. companies, and if they don't succeed, the federal government should be held accountable and responsible, just as when other policy measures and other responsibilities of the federal government are not executed successfully. Sure. They pay the price for it.
We're speaking with Alan Rall. He's a partner at the law firm Sidley Austin. And I want to ask you a question from your former vice chairmanship of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. You mentioned NSA, and of course there's a big information sharing policy, if not a law right now, for private sector to cooperate with the government and vice versa. But that seems to be dragged down constantly by the privacy industry, we'll call it. And so do you think they have maybe impeded progress where because of privacy concerns that maybe can be mitigated with technology?
Well, it is the case that there needs to be consideration and some balance between the government's ability to engage in surveillance of networks and the privacy interests of citizens and businesses that use the Internet. Obviously, both interests, that is to say, protection from cyber attack and privacy are very important, and they need to be considered and balanced. And that's what one of the roles of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board that you mentioned and on which I was privileged to serve. So there needs to be a balance. There need to be trade-off and serious considerations. I think that to some extent, the privacy concerns have been overstated in the last Congress when the information sharing legislation was being debated, and perhaps even today. The fact of the matter is that surveilling networks for the purpose of finding a malicious code is not inherently privacy invasive. It's not like trying to read the emails of, let's just say, potential terrorists, which might also scoop up emails of some innocent parties. Here, what the government really needs to do through technologies like there's something called Einstein, which is a technology that's been deployed in federal communications and Internet networks in order to detect and prevent malware from penetrating the network. These are technologies that examine code that's passing through the Internet, the packets that are transmitted through the Internet, without the interest of reading the communications, but rather scanning the communications for malicious code. That isn't inherently privacy invasive. On the other hand, when the cyber bad guys are able to penetrate our networks, steal our emails, steal our money, steal our intellectual property, that certainly is privacy invasive. So I would say it's a very legitimate and serious concern. The privacy considerations need to be taken into account, but it shouldn't impede the ability of the federal government to deploy new technologies, to work with the private sector in order to prevent malicious software and code that would exfiltrate our data, penetrate our networks from doing more damage than they already do.
Now, the White House has put forth a legislative proposal on cybersecurity, and the president is talking with Prime Minister David Cameron today, and there's a lot of activity and light and heat around all of this. What's your take on that legislative proposal? It seems to push the information sharing idea into law, but it doesn't really give the government that much bigger a role.
No, I think that's right. One of the factors in the new cybersecurity information sharing legislation is that it would provide some liability protection to companies that share information. This is an important step, and I believe it should be enacted and should be applauded, the administration, for proposing it. But it is a very limited measure. The liability protection is quite simply to insulate companies for any liability that might arise from sharing information with the government or receiving information from the government, for example, with regard to malicious signatures of software that could be executed on corporate networks for the purpose of cyber attacks. So it isn't protecting companies from liability other than in that regard. So that will be helpful, but it's not, in my view, let's say a panacea. An interesting proposal was announced yesterday in New York by Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, the New York State Attorney General. He actually is going to propose legislation that would provide companies a safe harbor from government investigations in New York State and possibly even liability in litigation if the companies commit to imposing higher standards of cybersecurity on themselves. For example, if companies adopt the NIST cybersecurity framework, NIST is the National Institute for Standards and
Technology. We know them well, yeah.
Very good, a component of the Commerce Department. So in New York State, according to this legislative proposal by the Attorney General, if companies agree to be certified to a higher standard of the NIST cybersecurity framework, they'd get, in exchange, a safe harbor from government investigation in New York and from consumer liability. Now, that is a very innovative and possibly productive development. Could be a model for the federal government, other states, and could result in actual higher cybersecurity standards being deployed more thoroughly.
Alan Rawl is a partner at the law firm Sidley Austin and former vice chairman of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me. I appreciate it.